Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You recall what James taught us in today's epistle. Every good giving and every perfect gift is from above. Do you remember the few words with which he introduced that saying? He said, "Make no mistake, my brothers." Why does he add that warning? He adds it because people often make this mistake. The devil and the world and our own sinful flesh would deceive us into thinking that God actually gives bad gifts, into thinking that God sends harmful things to us, that God tempts us to do evil, that God is responsible for all the troubles and problems in the world. No, says James, that's false. That's the devil trying to deceive you. The truth is, God gives good gifts, perfect gifts, all that is needed to get through this cursed existence on earth to the safety and joy of eternal life. And maybe the most important of all those good and perfect gifts is mentioned in today's gospel, where Jesus promises this gift to his disciples, to his holy church. He promises his own Holy Spirit. His disciples were sad on Maundy Thursday evening because Jesus had just told them that he was going to the Father, that he was going away. They thought that was terrible news. They thought in their ignorance that Jesus was making a mistake, that it would be worse for them if Jesus left, that God was abandoning them. On the contrary, Jesus assures them, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Now, if the coming of this Comforter is more advantageous than having Jesus himself physically present with his church, then this Comforter must truly be a perfect gift from above. What will he do, this Comforter? Jesus reveals a few verses later that it's the Holy Spirit that he's talking about with this word Comforter. That word is really full of meaning. His proper work is to comfort, to bring the comfort of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness in Christ and for the sake of Christ. But the word can also be translated as helper, advocate, or even encourager. It's someone who has literally been called to your side to help. Jesus outlines here in our gospel one of the chief ways that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will help the church that Jesus has, in a sense, left behind in this world. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness and concerning judgment. So one of the Spirit's chief tasks is to convict the world. Now understand, the Holy Spirit does not float around in the air somewhere convicting anyone. Nor does he enter the room when the right music is blared or the right lights are shown. He convicts through the Word of God and through the preaching of it. That is how the Spirit works. Specifically here, he works through the preaching of the law, which reveals God's commands and man's sin, and God's threats of wrath and judgment and condemnation against sinners. He will convict the world of sin, because they do not believe in me, Jesus says. Now, not believing in Jesus, the crucified and risen Son of God, is obviously not the only sin that exists. The Spirit, through the Word of God, reveals a world full of sinners without a single exception. A world full of people who were all sinful from birth, from the moment we were conceived, with a sinful flesh that is automatically devoid of true trust in God, true fear of God, and true love for God, and that is hostile toward God and full of wicked and selfish desires. And it doesn't stop there with our twisted, corrupted flesh. The Spirit exposes every sin of thought, word, and deed that flows from that twisted, corrupted flesh. Sins against God's commandments. Sins that don't love God above all things or our neighbor as ourself. Sins like failing to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Failing to honor His name and His word. Sins that are against our neighbor, like failing to honor our parents. Murder, adultery, theft, laziness, mockery, meanness. All of these sins, any of these sins, would condemn us. The only escape from God's wrath and condemnation is faith in Christ Jesus, who paid for all the world's sins on the cross. Faith that comes only by the working of the Holy Spirit, without whom no one can say, Jesus is Lord. But the world stands convicted by the Holy Spirit because they have not believed in Jesus, and so they will have to answer for each and every sin before the judgment of the all-seeing God. He will convict the world concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The world, again, in this context, the world refers to those who do not believe in Christ Jesus as true God together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The world believes in its own version of righteousness, of justice. Unbelievers have created their own version of what it means to be good. Ask anyone out there, especially in the United States, because in other countries you might get a different answer. Ask anyone if they think they're a good person. Almost everyone around us will say, yeah, I think I am. Or at least, I try to be. They've created their own standard of goodness, of what is right or righteous and what is wrong, of what social justice is supposed to look like, and then they praise themselves for living up to their own standard, which they don't even usually do most of the time. And they look down on all the people who violate their own invented notion of righteousness. The news media are experts at this. But the Spirit proclaims there is no one righteous. No, not one. Well, not one among ordinary men. Jesus Christ is called the Righteous One for good reason. He was the only sinless man who ever lived or who ever will. Only His righteousness is valid before God, and He has promised to share it, to give it as a covering for all who believe in Him. But now that Righteous One has gone to the Father, and we see Him no more. The only access to that righteousness in God's sight is through the ministry of the Spirit, as He brings sinners to trust in Christ for righteousness, not in themselves. But the world as yet refuses to believe that. And so the world stands convicted, not by you, not by me, but by the Comforter, by the same Holy Spirit, as He works through the preaching of the law. He will convict the world concerning judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. See, the world's judgment is different than God's. In the world's judgment, Christ is guilty. Guilty of getting in the way of their goals. Guilty of ruining their fun. Guilty of not going along with the world and its own man-made religion. The world judged Christ as guilty and hung him on a cross. In the world's judgment, Christians too are guilty and must ultimately be punished for their crimes of worshiping God instead of man, of honoring God's word instead of man's word. Christians are judged as guilty for not going along with the world's sin, for speaking against the world's sin, and for denying the power of any other God to save, except for the God who sent his Son to be judged in our place, that we may escape the condemnation we deserved. Of course, it's only God's judgment that really counts, not the world's, not any of ours. And in God's judgment, Christ was vindicated, and those who believe in him are justified. And the prince of this world, the devil, is already judged. That means that the whole world of unbelievers will also be judged in the coming judgment, and not one of them will escape. That message of judgment, God's judgment, is not something to be afraid of or to run away from. It must be proclaimed. And when it is, the Spirit of God is working to convict the world. And finally, some of those who are convicted of sin and of righteousness and judgment will repent and seek forgiveness in Christ, and they will find it. And when they do, they'll be removed from the number of the world and brought into the number of God's holy church that has been called out of the world by God the Holy Spirit. In addition to the Comforter's work of convicting the world, he also has a very important task among those who are God's people, and we can only barely touch on it today in the time that we have. Jesus says in the gospel, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." He did that first with the apostles themselves, after the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came upon them. It was the Spirit who enlightened the apostles to understand the Old Testament scriptures, to understand the gospel, and to explain it clearly and correctly in their New Testament preaching and writing. It was the Spirit who then, through their writings and teachings, guided the church into all truth, so that they were able to confess God rightly and put down all the heresies with which the devil continued to attack. Now it's the same Spirit given to all who believe in Christ, who still enlightens us with his gifts, who still sanctifies us and preserves us in the one true faith. That doesn't mean that Christians can't sometimes get things wrong, that we can't be deceived or led astray. Churches have often wandered away from the truth revealed in Holy Scripture. Nor does it mean that Christians always live the sanctified, saintly lives to which we're called. What it means is that the Spirit will always be calling us back to the truth that has been set down by him through the apostles in the Holy Scripture. The Spirit will always be preserving some remnant on earth of right teaching churches. The Spirit will always be calling Christians to repentance and faith through the preaching of the law and the gospel, and will always be powerfully working with Christians to guide and to strengthen us in love and in works of love. And in so doing, the Spirit doesn't glorify himself, he glorifies Jesus. As Jesus said, he will glorify me. Now, it often seems that the task that Jesus has left behind for the church in the world is monumental and more than we can handle. To constantly be at odds with the world, preaching things that the world finds repulsive. To know the truth of God when there are so many falsehoods being taught all around us. To keep believing in Christ, to keep growing in Christ, and to keep loving one another and our neighbor in the process. Thank God we have been given a comforter, a helper, sent by Jesus when he went away to stay with us at all times, the Holy Spirit of God, the perfect gift from above. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.